This is going to be an unusual sermon today, and that is the God-given name, and it's going to deal on different things about the name Christian and so forth, and about the divine name and so forth. But I'm going to give a parallel before, which shows there's so much of the Bible we think we know, we don't. We take things for granted. And there's a lot of questions, you know, people just, like other sheep. I have other sheep, which are not of this fold. And little flock. You know, a lot of people don't even give thought to what that means. And so I'm going to touch on sort of hits and misses on things, especially on this topic of Christian. Because you'll be surprised of the, well, I want to catch this on tape, maybe we're open prayer. Let's, Bill, can I ask you to open, please?
Yeah, I'd love to. Dear Heavenly Father, Yahweh, we just come to you today with joy in our hearts.
Yes.
We thank you because you promise us peace and joy. You promise us eternal life. You've got, we have a lot of promises from you, and we appreciate that. We thank you so much for that, because that's a way we can fight the daily battle. Only with your provision, only with your grace and mercy can we exist in this fragile situation. Our bodies are sometimes racked with pain, and we thank you that Rabbi Craig is feeling better. Hopefully also Brother LeBlu is feeling better. And we pray for the healing for Jan's ACL surgery and any others that are experiencing any kind of physical pain today. We also pray for Arsenio. We look forward to having him come back, of course, with Dusty. And for any of the others that are having challenges, and we all are going to get a challenge, but we know that through your strength, through the strength of the Holy Spirit, we can overcome. We can be overcomers. And that's what you promised us, and we look forward to that. We thank you for this meeting today. We ask for a special blessing on everyone here, and a special anointing with Rabbi Craig, that he can show us some things that we just don't know about, and things that are important to you and that we sometimes disregard and sometimes don't even think about. And those kind of things can grieve you, and we that's the last thing we want to do. We ask for forgiveness for the things that we have not been pleasing, done pleasing to you. So we thank you and pray all these things in through your precious Son Yeshua's name. Amen.
There are so many things in the Bible that, you know, you've heard over the years, you take for granted. And people do, you know. In fact, that's why so many people think the Bible's, you know, it's a good book, and I'm talking about Christians. But it's not, you know, you can't take it literal or parts literal, you know, because, you know, it's just like any other good book. The writings of the Hindus or the Muslims, you know, it's a man-made book. And so there's a lot of theory on this, and a lot of misinformation given out, even by Christians, saying, oh no, the Bible is just, you know, it's a good book, but, you know, you don't change your life and you don't lose your job over something like issues mentioned in Scripture, or this or that, you know. But how false that is, see, because Christ said, your word is truth, John 17:17. And John 8:31-32 says, only the Bible will set you free. And we know through archaeological discoveries, we know through historical facts presented, and we know of scientific facts presented that the Bible is the word of God and is truth. And when you truly understand it, you begin to put all the pieces together. Just like back in the Hebrew scriptures where there's so much killing going on, attacking of cities and so forth, destruction of people. It's, oh, what a God-thirsty God you serve. But they have no idea what's going on there. See, the meaning, the pre-Adamic times, the times of Adam, and all this evil that existed around God's people. And so there's so much to it. Christ is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. He represented Yahweh in the Old Testament. He represented him when he was on earth. And he represented him now. He's representing him now. And so, for no man has seen Yahweh nor heard his voice. So that's very clear. Yeshua was the instrument used, the representative by Yahweh in all cases to present himself to mankind. And the Bible is the word of Yahweh. And so it's just that simple. And so, see, but these are all misdistorted facts. Mentioned as facts, but they're not facts. See, that people bring forth out here that this is the Bible's this, the Bible's that. I want to give you an illustration. Now, this has nothing to do with the main course of the sermon, but it shows you, I'm touching on some of these things so that you'll see why things can get twisted so easy on the sermon that I'm going to be discussing. Eve ate what kind of fruit in the Garden of Eden?
Well, they say an apple, doesn't
Yeah, see, that's a common thought.
An apple.
Apples, right?
But we think it's
in all probability, it was a fig.
Yeah.
It was a fig, and that's why they made clothing off the fig tree, because, you know, the fig leaves are right there. See, and figs, so they believed truthfully it was a fig tree. And so there's so many things that Noah was swallowed by what? A whale, right?
Jonah.
Leviathan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. See, yeah.
A great fish is what.
Yeah, but that Bible just says a great fish, and there's plenty of great fish besides a whale. There's goopers. My gracious, I tell you, I've seen some of those. You can swallow two men. You know, there's all kinds. There's a great shark, not the white, but the monster shark, a whale shark. There's all kinds of things that could have swallowed. You know, but we take it for granted because man writes it. One of the translations, it was a whale. See, it swallowed Jonah. So, not true. See, we don't know what kind of fish.
With tongue in cheek, I say it could have been a Jewfish.
Yeah, it could have been a Jewfish.
And that is a grouper family, isn't it?
Oh, yes, they're huge.
That's a big one.
Okay.
Sorry about that.
No, that's okay. That's okay. Now, in John 10, here's a scripture that so many ministers have got messed up on. They try to apply it to every way. John 10:16, Yeshua says, I have other sheep, notice, which are not of this fold. Those also I will bring, and they will listen to my voice, and will become one flock and one shepherd. I have other sheep which are not of this fold. Turn to Luke 12:32. Read me about that other fold he's talking about.
Luke what again, sir?
12:32.
Lately, my computer hasn't been any faster than you guys with your turn.
Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom.
Yes, and that itself is the kingdom. It's the little flock of Israel. See, that was their intent, Israel. A little flock is Israel. That's bore out in other scriptures. Turn to Isaiah 56:8, and it's bore out again. Isaiah 56:8, yes. Isaiah 56:8 actually shows both the little flock and the other sheep, which are the Gentiles.
The Lord God, or Yahweh, who gathers the outcasts of Israel, says, yet I will gather to him others besides those who are gathered to him.
The others, is that goes back to John 10:16.
Is that the grafted in?
Well, the others, basically, there's two groups here. Is one's Israel, the little flock, and the Israel is the Gentiles that are grafted in. That's like Romans 9:6-7, the seed of Isaac. It's the Gentiles who are grafted in with Israel, and that's like when the curtain was split there in the temple when Christ died. The veil between the holy and most holy. So that's just an illustration of other scriptures dealing with that, is Ephesians 2:16, Romans 4, Romans 4, I think 16:17. I may be wrong at Romans 4, but Ephesians 2:16, and it says this.
Ephesians 2:16. And that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity.
See, couldn't be clearer. That's what all the scriptures are proving. Ephesians 2:16. It's when the Gentiles brought together with the Jew, with the Israelite. Now, let's go on. This ends that part, but I just wanted to show you the things that are taken for granted, you know, and often twisted, that are so clear in Scripture when you turn to Scripture. You know, the truth of the matter. Now, today, I want to discuss with you the a God-given name. In some translations, the term Christian is a word taboo. There are a lot of Christian so-called organizations that will not use the term Christian. They tie it in with Krista, the Hindu god. They make all. They say it's a pagan name. On the back, who's got the in the sacred name translation put out by Assemblies of Yahweh?
Yeah, I've got that.
Okay, you'll notice in the back. Read that for me, Bill, what it says in the Christian.
Okay. This is under the glossary there.
Yeah.
It says Christian from the Greek, adjective or noun, linking the subject with Christ. Since true worshipers, found John 4:23, do not follow the pagan figure of Christ, they are not referred to as Christians, but rather true worshipers.
Now there's group after group of Messianic Jews that go along with the Seventh-day groups on this. This is why when you come across their writings under God, they'll put GD, D-D, Christian. They won't write out Christian. They'll write part of it out. And so, see, a lot of Christians do not understand this. The term Christian, though, is a divine given name. I want to make that statement right off, proven from Scripture. But that's why I often use the term, and you hear me use it in sermons. I differ from the, I always make a difference between Christianity and true Christianity. Why would I do that? Why would I always say, this is true Christianity? Is not Christianity.
There's a lot of Christian sects, and they differentiate themselves in ways that, I don't know, like I said, the whole, my discussion about denomination,
yeah,
the tearing down of the elevated name, and true Christianity is not a religion, it's a reality. Christ was God, he came here, Yahweh's son, and died for our sins, and so Christianity as practiced by the individual churches are still works based in the way that, oh, you have to do this,
yeah,
and you have to do it our way to get there, and every one of them, by that very nature of it being man's choice and man's rules, is automatically wrong.
Mm-hmm. See, and that's why you can't classify all Christians as true Christians, because they're not. See, they're pagan holidays, everything else involved. Now, here, let's turn to this. The first time the term Christian was used was in Acts 11:26 up at Antioch. Let's turn to that. And I'm going to read you how two of the main translations read here.
11:26?
Yeah, you can read yours. Somebody can read yours. Acts 11:26.
In the King James it says, "And when he had found them, he brought them into Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch."
Okay. Now, this is, you know, why all these ideas, they say these groups like Assemblies of Yahweh, you know, the commentary in the Bible and others, Messianic Jews say, see, that was given by pagans. That name was given to the way, the people called the way by pagans, see. And so that's why they determine a pagan terminology. Let's watch this. Now I'll read this from a Hebrew translation. This is correct reading. "And after he found him, he brought him to Antioch." That's when Paul was brought to Antioch. It thus came about that for a whole year they gathered together with them in a congregation and taught quite a crowd. And it was first in Antioch, notice, that the disciples were, by divine providence, called Christian. Divine providence is in the Greek there. See, it is not in later Greek translations. But in the original Greek, it says divine providence, meaning it came down from Yahweh. Now here, whoever heard of the Knox Bible? You know what the Knox is?
I've heard of it, but I don't know.
This is a Catholic bishop. It considers a very good translation. It's a Catholic rendering, and it renders the same thing, by divine providence. This is taken from the Latin Vulgate. And so, you know, there's the main, some of the main translations. If you go back to the ancient Greek, shows it is by divine providence. So it was used in the beginning as a slang, but God turned that slang basically and just, you know, rubbed it in their faces, you know, and just basically turned that term into a good term.
Well, secular people look at Christianity as a system.
Yeah,
I would say it's like a system. It's a group of, like Mark mentioned, rules and do's and don'ts and this and that. But the secret of it is it's the relationship. It's your personal relationship, and it doesn't. You don't have to be a member of the synagogue or the temple or some big fancy church. No.
But you see how Satan's used that, because a lot of people think, Christian. You know, they go like that.
Yeah.
Because they see all the wars, the killing, all the things that's happened under so-called Christianity, Christendom, Catholic, Protestancy, so forth. But that is not true Christianity. And it doesn't reflect on the divine providence of that name. So it was given by Yahweh. So it's Satan and man who has turned this into slang, the term Christian. So always use true Christian compared to false Christian or counterfeit Christianity. Very important to understand. Other place it's used, two other places in Acts. It is used in, who would like to read for me, Acts 26:28.
"Then Agrippa said to Paul, 'You almost persuade me to become a Christian.'"
See? So the term was being used there, Paul, at Paul's time. And it was being used in a positive way, not a negative way. Turn to 1 Peter 4:16. Randy, could I have that mic away for about 30 seconds? Eat it up. Thank you.
For how many seconds?
Well, good enough where it's hot. Not where I can drink it, but hot.
I was reading today in the newspaper all the different spiritual meetings and groups that were a meeting. This was in Santa Fe. I mean, it covers a huge number of erroneous groups, and they're using all kinds of scientific kind of stuff, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Not the true creational kind of thing that we know is true, but all kinds of... the quantum theories, and they're getting into all this kind of just a general catch-all kind of thing to get people to come in to their meetings
because of the mysticness.
Exactly, mysticism. That was a whole bit.
That's why the Kabbalah religion, others in the Jewish faith, are so popular. Habah is because of their mysticism.
Oh, one about tapping.
Yeah.
Oh man, this one. Oh, yes.
Now, who would like to read from me 1 Peter 4:16?
But if one of you suffers for being a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this matter.
See, and Peter's a long time after Christ, so and Paul. So he's saying, you know, if you suffer a Christian. He's not talking, don't call yourself a Christian. He's using it in a positive way. And these are key scriptures to keep in mind. We know that, you know, under the Old Testament, every name meant something very important. We've talked about this in relation to the name of Yahweh. You didn't have to, if you're coming the name of Yahweh, you didn't have to explain his personality and his traits. Everyone knew who he was. You were a representative of Yahweh. They knew who he was. See? Walk into court, you say, I'm coming in the name of Yahweh. Say, and they knew who it was. Even more so, I'm coming in the name of Pharaoh. Because this was a powerful name. So names meant far more than what they do today. Children were named after circumstances and particular traits of a family. Such as, you know, we just take a few names in the Adam meant earthly. Noah meant repose. Abraham meant father of a multitude. Isaac, laughter. Jacob, supplanter. David, dear. Solomon, peaceful. Daniel, judgment of God. And Yeshua, Savior. See, that shows you the meaning behind these names. So in the Old Testament, names meant everything. You know, like if you were going to take the city, such as when Sennacherib rode around the city of Jerusalem, he used the Assyrian king's name. You know, this city isn't going to stand up any more than any other city. Tyre, you know, Samaria, it's going to fall because of our great king. Names meant everything, see. And this is a meaning. The definition of a word, you know, is so important, and the meaning of a name. Of course, you know, a name means everything to people, different things. Names mean something to everyone who knows us. For instance, anyone who knows Mark or me or anything, say. First of all, when we think of a name, we form a mental picture of that person, don't we? And then there is an emotional response to a mental picture. Right? That's especially true in the Hebrew scriptures because names are so more important and used in different ways. If, for example, you were to close your eyes and think of a name, President Obama... You would no doubt form a mental picture. There might be smoke behind the scene, but Yeah, you'd form a mental picture. But you see, names do have a, you know, they're tied in today. Also, you would also have emotional response, whether the guy was good, bad, or ugly. You know, whatever you're picturing. Therefore, a name is very important. We may bring honor or dishonor upon your family name, the way that name is used. The name Christian is very important. Everything which bears reference to Christ is important. Keep that in mind. And we are told that his name is above every name. Acts 4:12, Philippians 2:9. Because that actually means Yeshua. It means Yahweh. Thus, you know, we see that this is what's important. Not being called Methodist, Baptist, you know, Catholic or whatever. It's Christian is a term used. And for a very good reason. It was divinely given. Now, we know the Israelites were known to be people bearing God's name, right? A people for his name's sake, Israelites. So they bore the name of Yahweh. This is a key point because I want to share some. Let me give you another thought here. The Israelites were known. You know, there wasn't an unknown, meaning they didn't have an unknown God. That's why in the third chapter of Exodus it says, "This is my name to time indefinite," you know, Yahweh, as a memorial to all generations. So the Israelites were known by that name. Now, are we who are Yahweh's servants today? Why would we be known by any other name? See, we are also bearers of Yahweh's name, Christians. But also the term Christian comes in here. The perfect, this is a term applied to the church by the, you know, in Antioch. And we are to wear only a God-given name, and that is Christian. So God promised a new name to his people. And that, of course, is like we read back, you know, in the other scriptures, where Ephesians 2:16 and so forth, we bear that name, Christian, say. We bear it, and it's so important. We're also known, and here's the point, you know, back in Luke 12:32, the little flock and then the other sheep, John 10:16, we see that this is a distinguish between the little flock, which were bearing the name of Yahweh, and the Gentiles, which would come into that name, you know, the other flock, and become one flock. Turn to, you'll notice a new name here. Of course, it's Christian, as we learned in Acts 11:26, but these are who make up these Christians. This is important to understand. Romans 9:6-7, let's read that. Who would like to read that for me?
I would, but I'm a little slow.
No, that's okay.
Romans 9:6-7.
Ninth chapter, Romans, verse 6 and 7.
Okay.
Leah, do you have the Living Bible there?
Yeah. What?
Go ahead, Leah, and read the Living.
What?
Oh, no, I was telling Leah to read the Living. Do you have the Living?
No.
Oh, okay. Have you got it, Blue?
I have the Living.
Okay. Blue, let Blue read his, too. Okay.
Not as though the word of God has miscarried. For all are not Israelites that are of Israel. Neither are all they that are the seed of Abraham children, but in Isaac shall thy seed be called.
Okay, And Isaac, of course, says, is the Gentiles of the other tribes of Israel. See, there are 13 tribes of Israel. And so they would be known, these are the Gentiles, that they would be known as the other sheep in John 10:16. See, they would be gathered with Luke 12:32, the Jews, see, at that time, and become one flock. Turn to Hebrews 11:18, Leah. Read that for me. Thank you, Blue.
Hebrews 11:18. I have to read 17 with
this. Okay.
While God was testing him, Abraham still trusted in God and his promises, and so he offered up his son Isaac and was ready to slay him on the altar of sacrifice. Yes, to slay even Isaac, through whom God had promised to give Abraham a whole nation of descendants.
Okay, so by his name, read the latter part, 18.
Yes, to slay even Isaac, through whom God had promised to give Abraham a whole nation of descendants.
Okay, through Isaac, see. So we know that this is the Gentiles mentioned there in basically John 10:16. It would be one flock with the little flock of Israel. And yet they are Israelites, but they're, like Christ said in Matthew 21:52, I believe it is, the kingdom is being ripped from you, he's talking to the Jews, and given to another nation. That nation means Gentiles, and that means actually, if you track it, to the Galileans, all the other tribes of Israel that would intermarry and be Gentiles themselves, but they would be actually the tribes of Israel. And this is very interesting. Now, let us study carefully. I want you to turn to something. We're going to study it for a moment. This is a prophecy given about the Gentiles, these other Israelites called by the seed of Isaac. Let's turn to Isaiah 56, 3 through 5. Isaiah 56, 3 through 5. I know this isn't the most exciting sermon, but it's something you really need to understand, because it'll clear up a lot of matters. Why, you know, this term, wrong terminology in Christian, and all the misuses. And how there are actually two flocks that become one flock. Isaiah 56, 3 through 5. You will note that Isaiah here is speaking to strangers, foreigners, eunuchs, neither were Israelites. He's not speaking to Israelites here. Here Yahweh is speaking to Gentiles, eunuchs, and his promises. So that's very important to understand. Notice here what he says. He says, unto them will I give my house, and within my walls a memorial, and a name better, notice, than that of sons and daughters. I will give them everlasting name that shall not be cut off. That's given in Deuteronomy also, 23:5. Would you read Isaiah 56, 3 through 5, Mark, for me?
Neither let the foreigner who has joined himself to Yahweh speak, saying, Yahweh will surely separate me from his people. Neither let the eunuch say, Behold, I am a dry tree. For thus says Yahweh of the eunuchs who keep my Sabbaths, and choose the things that please me, and hold fast my covenant. To them will I give in my house and within my walls a memorial, and a name better than that of sons and of daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off.
And of course, see, that is they too will bear the name of Yahweh as their seeds of Isaac, as we read it in Romans 9:6 and 7, Hebrews 11:18. but is also, they would now be called Christians. See? And Christians would take in both the little flock and the other sheep. Meaning that's the term used. Those who are not Israelites, as we just read here in Deuteronomy and also Isaiah 56, will receive a new name. They will be given in God's house, the church, Acts 11:26. See, so they're being absorbed into the church, which is called Christians. Both houses are at this time. After the curtain has been ripped apart, you know, and separating the holy from the most holy. Before that wasn't the case, but now it would be. It'll be a memorial name. So Christian, that's why it says it was divinely a providence given by providence in the proper translations. It would be better than the title of sons and daughters, and it'll be an everlasting name. In Isaiah 65, God is talking to a nation that was not called by his name. Okay? But now they would all be Christians bearing the name of Yahweh. That is true Christianity. This is usually interpreted to mean Gentiles. Speaking to the rebellious Israelites, Isaiah 65:15 says, God says, "And you shall leave your name for a curse unto my chosen. For the Lord shall slay you and call his servants by another name." Now boy, how clear can you get than that? The servants of God would be called by the seed of Isaac. They would be Gentiles. They would no longer be called Jew. See, or Israelite. From the standpoint as the church would not be called Israel. And that's why I read Matthew 21. Let me read Matthew 21. This is again when Christ said the words he did to the Pharisees. When he knew they were rejecting him, he said these words to the Pharisees.
What is that again?
Matthew 21. This is in verse 43. Well, I'll read 42 too. What was it? And Yeshua said to them,
Matthew 21.
Yeah, Matthew 21, 42 and 43. And Yeshua said to them, Have you never read the scriptures? The stone that the builders rejected, he's speaking of himself, is the one that has become the chief cornerstone. from Yahweh this has come to be and is marvelous in your eyes, in our eyes. This is why I say to you, the kingdom of Yahweh will be taken from you and given to a nation producing its fruits. That nation means Gentiles. See, so that's, you see here where it was being ripped from the Jews at this time and was being given now to the Gentiles, and it would become one flock. Jew and Gentile would become one. That's why, again, in Isaiah it says, "You shall leave your name for a curse unto my chosen, for the Lord shall slay you and call his servants by another name." Of course, that happened AD 70. The Jew became a curse, and the nation has been slain as a nation, was in AD 70. And it says, and God has called his people, notice, members of his kingdom, here on earth by a new name, and that is Christian. They're not called Israelite. Church is not Israel. It's called Christian church. Okay. We know this, of course, all started in Antioch. You know, back, like it says in Acts 11:26. A church is an assembly of Christians made up of Gentile converts called Christian only. The Bible, now here's the part you mentioned, Mark. The Bible does not recognize any divisive, denominational, man-made religion. So here's the problem today. This is why there's so much confusion. That's given it. Read Romans 16 through 18, please. Who would like to read that for me, please?
What chapter?
Romans 16, verses 16 through 18.
Greet Philologus and Julia, Nereus and his sister, and Olympus, and all the saints who are with them. Greet one another with a holy kiss. The assemblies of Christ greet you. Now I beg you, brothers, look out for those who are causing the divisions and occasions of stumbling, contrary to the doctrine which you learned, and turn away from them. For those who are such don't serve our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly. And by their smooth and flattering speech, they deceive the hearts of the innocent.
And that's those who were trying to keep the two elements coming together. See, and they're still doing it today. Because elements are still trying to separate, you know, and not use the term Christian. In fact, people, I'm going to tell you, you know some of them. Robbie, Ole, from, you know, over in Eagle Nest, none of them will use the term Christian. So that's ones we know of. But there's so many other groups like I just mentioned. Look at Isaiah 56:5 again. And I just want to touch on this. Yeshua said 8 centuries, notice, 8 centuries, that's 800 years before it happened, he would give a new name to the Gentiles. See, and that's the term Christian. The new name would be given in his house, the church. And it was Acts 11:26, when they called him Christian. Isn't that amazing? That 800 years later, the prophecy fulfilled at Antioch, that's when they labeled him Christian. That's why it was a divine providence word, say, given. As the Knox Bible, the Hebrew translation renders it. Now that to me is amazing. 800 years before it was foretold, they would be called Christian.
Where was that?
Huh?
Where was that? That 800 years before, what reference was that?
Isaiah 56:5.
Okay, I got that. Okay.
And that was the time it was written.
That was the time it was written. And then Acts 11:26 is when they were called Christian. It would be a memorial name, a memorial of someone. It would be better than the title son, and it would be an everlasting name. Antioch became first publicly a Gentile church. It became the center of efforts to Christianize the Gentile world. It was here that Yahweh first caused it to be used, the new name, Christian. The name had never been used before. It was entirely new.
Well, and that's where we get the very practice of anointing people. That's what Christ means, is anointed. That's
the word. Taken from the Messiah, which has the same meaning.
We use anointing oil for healing and blessing, and that's the basis of where that comes from.
See, and the name has never been used before. Before they were called the Way, but it will be an everlasting in use. It will never be cut off. Christians will always be Christians, see, because they're following the ways of the Christ. The Bible gives some very good reasons for wearing the name Christian only. First of all, it's sanctioned by Scripture in Acts 11:26, 26-28, 1 Peter 4:16. Those are Scriptures you already have. It was a scriptural name prophesied 800 years in advance. Now here's the point. It's taken in Acts from a Greek word called, I'll spell this out for you. Acts 11:26. K, I'll let you write this down. K-R-E-M-A, T-I-Z-O. How would you pronounce that? Nina?
Kermazio?
Yeah. It means, guess what it means? Exactly what the Knox and the New World Translation renders it. Divinely called. Divinely called. The church, you know, note that the church of Christ, you know, this meaning, you know, when the meaning there, are the body of Christ. It's his church that's gathered throughout the world. Of course, your modernistic critics say it means nothing. It's only a nickname, but that's not true. It's divinely given by that Greek word used there. It was promised 800 years before, and they kept it in Antioch, and kept it in Antioch of Syria. Some other key points I wanted to give you. And I guess that maybe. Of course, the name Yahweh, of course, isn't diverted. That's, I mean, we're Christians who worship Yahweh. Same as ancient Israel was Israel who worshiped Yahweh. You see the point there? The two are connected.
Do you happen to know whether the Byzantine Greek or the Westcott Horte is older?
Which one?
Byzantine or the Westcott Horte? I have both of those available. I don't know which one.
Well, the Westcott Horte is the oldest because it's taken from the Alexandrian line, which takes in the Vaticus 1209 as well as the Sinaiticus. These are the two oldest Greek texts. Okay. The Byzantium text line is about, that's what the King James is about. It doesn't really, it's hundreds of years older, younger, I mean older. It doesn't come into effect until around 6th, 7th, 8th century Greek, you know, and then later is rendered during the time of the King James, Tyndale and stuff. So it's a much more correct text line is the Westcott Horte. They were translators of those ancient manuscripts. There were also some other great Greek translators, Meek and Tishtoff, who translated too from them, and this rendered their renderings are much older than anything connected out of the Byzantium text line. So, by hundreds of years. So they're considered by 80 or 90% of the scholars as far as superior. I'll tell you, you know the Bible by Tyndale, the eight New Testaments? Have you got that?
The what say again?
Tyndale's eight Bible translations of the Greek.
Now I've got the two study guides that he did by time and by book.
Well, I have it. I'll show it to you. In the foot on the back notes of that translation, they give all the opinions, renderings, and they say... The Byzantium text line is a very corrupted line. You know, many faults in it. And by far inferior to, you know, the Westcott Horte and to the ancient Greek writings of the Egyptian, of the Alexandrian text line. So, I often thought, wouldn't it be interesting if that library had not been burnt down in Egypt?
Oh, I know. I keep thinking of the same thing. Why? Oh. Well, wouldn't that have been wonderful to be able to go back
and the Greek, remember, their great library got burned down.
There's the Catholics have destroyed a lot of ancient manuscripts.
Oh, yeah.
The Spanish ruined a lot of the man culture.
No.
I think that's happened repeatedly through history. That's mm. unfortunate that the Romans decided to burn all those scrolls to heat their baths.
Well, I have to believe that Yahweh preserved what we were supposed
to do. Oh, yes, absolutely.
But it still kind of irks you.
Because there's so many other things you could have learned, too.
Yeah.
See?
Maybe we could have gotten the answer straight sooner.
I use that line in my job. When I'm selling the internet to a business, it's the only advertising that your customers are going to deliberately seek out. But for customers, for consumers, it's the best free library in the world since Alexandria burned.
Absolutely. It's complete. Abraham Lincoln stated that there is no other book needed to study. He says it's complete. You know, so too bad mankind doesn't understand that today. That's why I tell, like Miranda and so forth, kids who learn the Bible now are coming like her and my other grandchildren, of course others too, not only my family. What a blessing. Oh, how much ahead of the world you are. They don't have a vaguest idea what you know. They think they know everything, but Yahweh laughs at their knowledge. It's your knowledge that he's given you that he counts as serious. The knowledge of God's word. It's just like with you, Blue, or any of us. What we're learning is true knowledge. It's not this man-made, stuff going on. It's not, stuff that's not worth anything for the most part. So, hope you enjoyed this. As I said, it's not been the most, zip-roaring sermon. But it's something I think very important to understand, because you've covered some ground here that most ministers don't understand, and almost all Christians don't, and most messianic groups are messed up on. See? Just like we know Robbie, Oli, all were messed up on this thing. And so it's so important to understand that Christian is a divine given name. The Israelites were Israelites bearing Yahweh's name. Christians are the Gentile world, which are Israelites, the other nation. Matthew 21:43, intermarried with the Gentiles. See, but they have been joined with the little flock, which is the Jews, to become one flock, but they today are called Gentiles, the true church. And that is made up of these ones. They're the seed of Isaac. They're not known by Abraham. They're named by the seed of Isaac. And these ones basically are the ones who are Christians who believe in Yahweh. They, as the Israelites believed in Yahweh, true Christians will believe in Yahweh. False, there's a key line. False Christians, counterfeit Christians, will deny the name of Yahweh. And I'm going to tell you something, getting down to the nitty-gritty here, the final words. I think it's going to come right down to this. Those who bear the name of Yahweh in the last days, this is bore out in Revelation 3:8, you did not deny my name, are going to truly be of the bride of Christ. Others will gain life, but they're going to go through hard times. And it's the fact is that only the chosen will bear that name, Yahweh. This is very clear in Scripture. Just like the true chosen Israelite didn't hide the name of Yahweh. So they didn't hide the name. They were known for his name's sake. See? And we will be known for his name's sake. A true Christian who is a servant of Yahweh, who's chosen, will not be ashamed of that name. In the name of Yeshua, they're going to bear it. No matter what the consequences are, in favorable, unfavorable conditions, they're going to bear that name. Revelation 3:8 is very clear. Read that for me, will you, someone? Revelation 3:8.
The sad part about it is, it's like the little brethren church over here.
Yeah.
They say, well, Pastor Manny was trying to teach stuff from a cult.
Yeah.
A little cult over there that Craig, that Jewish cult.
Yeah.
So they, whatever, you know.
See,
how,
all twisted
how things
again.
Things are twisted.
Just like with the
backwards,
apple.
They're backwards.
Yeah, with the apple and with the whale. Everything's twisted. See, everything's twisted, yes.
I know your works. See, I have set before you an open door, and no one can shut it. For you have a little strength, have kept my word, and have not denied my name.
See, there's your key right there.
Did not deny my name.
And we have no power within ourselves. The true chosen body of Christ, now, I want you to understand this, is little groups like us, and may be individuals even, scattered throughout the world. But they have no power whatsoever. See, like organized religion. But not a door will be closed to them. Meaning Yahweh's going to open up everything to them. And it's because they did not deny the name. I can't overemphasize this. The whole opportunity, the great blessing of a chosen one, comes by not denying his name. And living that name.
You know, people try to name their babies and look up all these names to what they mean. There's importance in the name.
Yes, there
is. That's why I called my kids Matthew and David. Because I knew that those names held power or held strength.
Yeah, they do.
Well, we're not denying the name. Yahshua, Yahweh's Savior. So
yes, we're glorifying.
The name itself is very significant.
There's power in those words. Our words
salvation.
Have power.
That's why I make the point of describing him as President Hussein, and that's why I'm concerned with Chicago electing somebody named Supreme Contender with God, with us.
Absolutely. You see the power of Saint
Mom,
behind
Israel,
it.
Emmanuel, that's what that
means. You see the power of Saint
It's like if he was named that intentionally by his mother, why? And if he chose that name afterwards, really why?
And that's why Kabbalah, see, and all these famous people are joining, because they're taught, see, in those religions. I have the Kabbalah books at home, everything. They're taught you're going to get supreme. You're going to know things no one else knows. You're going to power, see, all mysticism. But it's true with Yahweh's name, that is where the power lies.
And we don't understand how important our words are, because the Bible says that we will be held accountable for every idle word.
Yes.
And so therefore the name also held accountable for what name we're using.
Yes. And that's why it's a chosen one will walk. That's why a chosen one is not like a called Christian. These other groups are called. But a chosen one will live his life as if he has died. He no longer lives his life. He lives the life of Yeshua. Okay? Meaning, he's not perfect, but he will seek to glorify Yahweh in everything that he thinks. Think of that. I point to my mind. Everything that he says, everything that he does. Now, you're going to fall short. You're still in the flesh. But that will be your desire. And you will not make a practice. You will not make a practice. You will not make a practice. Three times I'm emphasizing that. Of walking the way most churches do. People in the churches. You won't make a practice of sinning. You'll feel, if you sin, you're going to feel cut to the core. Your conscience is going to feel cut. And it's going to be a long time before you commit that sin again. Or if you ever commit it. Okay. And that's the whole thing. Meaning, let me give you an illustration of this. I'm going to say a handsome man. He's he's got a great weakness for women. Let's call him Samson. Samson. He's got a great weakness for Philistine women. You know what I mean? Samson was truly a called Israelite. He wasn't chosen. From that at that point, because when he was hot for Yahweh, he was hot. Man, you couldn't get hotter. You know what I mean? You stop and think of it. He'd take a jawbone of an ass and just through a pass, he could probably as high as the ceiling where they were climbing over you trying to get to him. Heavily armed Philistine soldiers, metal helmets, metal breastplates, heavily armored. In fact, no other nation around there had that kind of armor. He just tore them to pieces. Can you imagine if word got back to the last staggering soldier into the king? You know what happened? Almost unbelievable. He does this thing about the tying the foxes' tails, burns down all the fields of the, you know, main crops of the Philistines. He just does one act after another. And then the final act where he tears down the temple and kills more Philistine high uppers than in his whole lifetime he killed. Now, he was hot for Yahweh. That's a good term, hot. But boy, at other times, you know, there wasn't a dying to oneself during his lifetime. It took the final act to die. But, you know, he's lacking both sides of the, you know, one foot in the world and one with, you know, Delilah must have been a beautiful woman. You know, so was a lot of Philistine women and Jewish women, everything else. So, you know, he was a handsome man, probably built like a weightlifter, you know, really strong. And you see, I'm using that as an illustration because that's life. That's true life. See? And so until you come to the point, as he did at the end, where he wouldn't begin to have done, had he lived on, he wouldn't begun to do the things he had done before. See, because he had truly, he knew what it was to die for Yahweh. And so it is with us through our baptism. Penance and baptism. So I hope you enjoyed this sermon. Sort of an unusual one to give, and it was moved on me. But I knew there was so much confusion, and I'm seeing it more and more in the writings of these religious groups saying, don't use the term Christian, you know, don't use this or don't use that. And then all this other mass confusion out here floating around as facts on the Bible, you know, which are not facts. So, any questions? Miranda, do you have anything you want to say? Did you get something out of this? Okay. Well, let's all stand. Small group, but maybe this word will get out. Dear Mark, lead us.
Father Yahweh, thank you for bringing us all here today to study your word. Thank you for the blessing of your Holy Spirit on Craig as he was going over a number of these issues that are part of the confusion, part of the Babylon that is coming down upon the world. When so many of your chosen people are ending up in so-called churches that are confused, that are actually lost, we need to spread your word even with more force. And we ask the help of your son, Yeshua, to do this in his holy name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.